Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
October 30th, 2007, the Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, trick or treat. Well, welcome back to another Digital Story. It's been interesting lately, hasn't it? I've had a whole rash of interviews, and we've been talking to some interesting folks, and I have more ready to go, but I thought I'd take a week where we just sort of catch up on some of the stuff that we talk about directly, and then we'll bring some more guests in upcoming shows. So I have a whole goodie bag of stuff for us today, and here in the States, and I think in a lot of other places, actually, this is a universal holiday coming up, a celebration of sorts, which is Halloween. Or All Saints Day, or I'm sure it goes by all sorts of names, but it's October 31st, and trick-or-treating is a big deal here. Little kids and even sometimes big kids go out and see what they can wrangle out of folks, and I thought today we'd do a little trick-or-treating here online, and I have some tricks and some treats for you, and I wanted to start out the first thing for today that I would like to begin with. And this is for those of you that are on the Mac, which is the new OS X 10.5 upgrade that's available. It's called Leopard. And this is mainly a treat, although there are a few tricks involved. And I just wanted to roughly, quickly touch on a few of those today. So those of you that aren't Mac users, we'll burn right through this. And those of you that are, I think for the most part, Leopard is a safe upgrade for photographers. I've talked to a number of people who have just, bought the new software and installed it on their existing computer and rolled along quite fine. Adobe has said that CS3, for the most part, is compatible with Leopard, and that includes Photoshop CS3, which is of most interest to folks in our audience. But on the other hand, Lightroom 1.2 is not certified Leopard compatible yet. And at first, I wasn't hearing much about trouble with Lightroom, but now that it's been a few days since OS 10.5 was available, some things are starting to surface. Some folks are having problems managing metadata. Printing seems to be an all-around problem with 10.5, not just with Lightroom, but sometimes in shared environments. So if you're a heavy Lightroom user, then I think I would hang on just a little bit before upgrading to Leopard if you're a Mac user. Let Adobe get their update out the door. I don't have any estimate on when that'll be, but hopefully it won't be too long. And then once the updated version of Lightroom is out, then I think it will be safe to upgrade to Leopard. If you're an Aputure user, you can upgrade right now, and there is an Aputure update that's available, and you can download that via software update. Same thing for iPhoto users. Seems fine to go. And there is an iLife 08 update that's available, and make sure that you grab that via software update. So at the moment, the real issue seems to be with Lightroom 1.2 running on Leopard. If you're a Lightroom fan, and if you're using it, it's your main thing, then hang on just a little bit. Let Adobe get that update out the door, and then I think you'll be safe to go for Leopard. On yesterday's blog post, Monday's blog post, I ran a link to an interview that I did with Rick Salmon when I was in New York. And I did this interview for O'Reilly Media, and it's posted over there, and I put a link to it. But the reason why that I bring it up, other than I think Rick is a really terrific guy and an interesting photographer to listen to, is that he's talking about travel and how to prepare for travel and everything. And I'm getting ready to go off to the Caribbean for 2 weeks as part of a Geek Cruise. This is a lot of fun. What I actually do while I'm at sea, this is beyond Holland, America, and is part of the Geek Cruises thing that is, it's an endeavor led by Neil Bauman, who's just a terrific guy and runs a number of these Geek Cruises every year, going to all sorts of interesting places, the Caribbean, Alaska, has gone to Mediterranean, over to Europe, all sorts of really good stuff. But the way that it works for me anyway on this trip is that while we're at sea, going down to the Panama Canal and so forth, I teach classes. I'll be teaching Aperture, I'll be teaching Lightroom, I'll be teaching iPhoto, and I will also be teaching Photoshop for photographers. So while we're at sea, I'm teaching classes. And then when we're in port, I get to run around just like every other crazy that gets off the ship, and I'm going to be doing some snorkeling. I love snorkeling, and I have my little underwater camera housing, so hopefully I'll get some good shots. And then, of course, I'll be shooting topside also in places like Aruba and so forth. So I'm really looking forward to it. Now, this will have some effect on my publishing over the next couple weeks, because those of you that have ever done cruises, you sort of know how this works. You do have internet on the ship, sort of, kind of. And what that means is that it's satellite internet, so if the sea isn't too rough, it can lock in. If the sea's really rough and on days when things are bouncing around a lot, there's usually no internet at all because the boat's just pitching too much and it can't lock in. And then when there is internet, you can only get it in certain areas of the boat, mainly in the library. And then, of course, it's very expensive. So these are not, and there isn't much bandwidth either. Okay. Other than that, it's really great, right? So not a whole lot of bandwidth, can be intermittent. It's expensive, and it's only in one area, which is not an area you normally want to hang out. So what I do, I've taught on these cruises before. So what I do is I'll have content ready, and they're probably, as long as it doesn't require a lot of bandwidth, I'm usually in pretty good shape. So I'll be able to post on the weblog, and I'll try to keep up my my daily publishing. There's lots to talk about. That's, you know, that's the cool thing. So I should have plenty to talk about. I might not get the usual 5 or 6 posts in a week that I normally do. It might be more around 4, but, you know, who knows? We'll see. And then for the podcast, I will probably do, for the next week's podcast, I'll probably do a best of a podcast, which I've done before. I'm going to pick probably a goodie out of the archives and run that. And then that way, because I don't have the bandwidth to be messing around, moving audio around. So I'll probably get that set up before I go. So next week, we'll probably have a best of show. Now, the good news is that while I'm on the ship, I'm going to be recording stuff and talking to people. And I should come back with some really fine stuff. So and I will run that right away. I'll start running that stuff right away. So next week will probably be a best of, and then after that, we'll get to some of the new stuff that I captured while I was out and about. So fun all the way around. In terms of the photo assignment for next month, or, well, actually, this month's photo assignment, which is close-up, which closes here in just another day, that gallery probably won't go up, and, well, we'll see how it is at sea. If I have decent bandwidth and I can post that gallery, I'll try to get it up around the 10th. If the bandwidth is really bad, I'll have to wait till I get back, which will be, you know, more around the 17th or so. So if you don't see the gallery until mid-month, don't worry. I haven't been getting enough up to mid-month anyway because I've been traveling so much, but I'll see what I can do. I'll see what I can do. It's a great-looking gallery, by the way, what's building so far. And if you haven't sent in your picture for this month's assignment, close-up, you only got a couple more days, so get that bad boy in and be a part of the fun. Okay, so that is the Geek Cruise thing, and I know that there's just a lot of sympathy for me out there around all of this. But believe me, I'm taking it like the photographer that I am. You know, I've got to do all the assignments, good or bad. I want to talk about metadata for just a couple minutes. And this is something that's been coming up a lot lately. And what I mean by metadata, I'm thinking about IPTC data, which is your data, the data that you add to a photo, the file info, not the XF data, which is aperture and shutter speed and ISO, but the stuff that you add, your name, the description, copyright, things like that. And the reason why it's been coming up a lot lately is because more and more photographers that are starting to publish their work and share their work are running into the fact that their work isn't identified and it's vulnerable. Sometimes it's being taken. And of course, by having your IPTC data filled out, that doesn't mean that work doesn't get stolen. But honest people who really want to know who owns it have a way of tracking you down. So I want to talk for a minute just to sort of encourage you to start adding this. And what I've done even, for instance, if you go to, let's say, the last grab shot that I published, the last couple grab shots, if you copy those to your hard drive and open them up in Photoshop and go to File Info, you'll see that I've added the metadata there for the author, for the Digital Story member who submitted the photo. And I've started doing that a little while back because I just want everything that goes up on the site that's from one of our members to be identified. And I guess in part, I'm talking about it today, hoping that as you send in grab shots and photo assignments, that if you can, add the metadata, and that actually saves me a little time when I'm publishing. And so let's talk about how to do that. Well, if you're a Photoshop user, it's a fairly straightforward process. You have your photo open there in Photoshop, and let's say you've resized it and done whatever you want to do to it. You go to File, and then, you know, get that drop-down menu, pop-up menu, and then you go to File Info, which is a ways down the menu, and that opens up a dialog box. And in that dialog box, you'll see that you have some options there on the left, and the top option should be Description. And then, of course, you have some camera data and some other options, too, where you can look at the stuff that your camera wrote. But the description area is the area that we're focusing on today. And there you have the opportunity to add your identity, your author name. You can add a description about the photo itself, which is, you know, really a caption, which I think is good to have with it. You can say that it's a copyrighted material. There's a little pop-up menu there that allows you to choose copyright. And then you can add your copyright information and, you know, copyright 2007, and then, you know, your name. And then you can also put a URL if you have a place where you want people to go if they want to contact you or find out more information about the photo. Now, when I get stuff, I usually, in that, people don't have websites, you know, Digital Story members, then I'll put the Digital Story because I have your contact information. If someone came to me, I could forward them on to you with your permission. So if you don't have a site, don't worry. I'll put in the Digital Story and you'll be covered that way. Now, what's cool about this, and you hit OK, then Photoshop actually puts that information with the file itself, with your photo in the header, and it will travel with that photo when people download it or if they share it or if it gets attached to email, whatever happens, all of your information will show up there. And you'll also see that when you open it up in Photoshop, up at the top there in the title bar of the photo, there'll be, if you choose that this is copyrighted material, you'll get the copyright icon up there at the top, and that visually tells folks right away that this photo is copyrighted and that all they have to do is go to File Info to find out who it belongs to. And I just think that all of us in the Digital Story Virtual Camera Club should be doing this with anything that we share online. And I think it's just a good habit to get into. And the one thing that you have to remember is that if you add this file info, then you can save it as a JPEG. You can save it as anything you want. Just don't use the save for web and devices option because that'll strip out most of your information. So that's the only option you don't use, the save for web option. Do not use that. You can use save as or save, but not save for web. Adobe keeps threatening to fix that, but for the time being, as far as I can tell, that if you use save for web, all that information you added will be stripped out. Now, if you're using Lightroom or Aperture, you can have your copyright information added when you import your photos, and it will persist even when you export them out and then send them into Digital Story or wherever you do that. But you have to make sure that information is being added either when you import, which I think is the best time to do it. You can actually set up presets in both Lightroom and Aperture that will automatically add that information for you. Or you can add it later on once the photo is already in the library, which isn't as good a way because you might forget. But once you do that and you export out of either of those applications, as long as you have the box checked that is sending out the metadata with it, then all of your contact information, your copyright information, will go out with that file regardless of what format that you save it to. So Photoshop users, Lightroom users, Aperture users, all of you, it's very easy to make sure that your IPTC metadata is part of your photo. Now, if you send something in to the Digital Story to run as a grab shot or part of a photo assignment, I encourage you to add that metadata. Now, for grab shots, if you don't add it, I will add it for you. I'm very thankful if you add it, but I will add it for you. For the photo assignments, I don't add it to all the shots. I do add the copyright. I will add your copyright to it, but I won't add as much of the other metadata to the photos as I do for the grab shots. So you might want to do that, and whatever information you want to be with that photo for your photo assignment. And again, if you don't do it, I'll still cover you and make sure that at least your copyright's in there and that your name is in there. But so this is an important thing. This is a habit that I want us all to get into, and definitely everything that we publish on our site, I want to have this metadata. But then I'm hoping that this habit catches on, and then everything that you publish anywhere will have it. And I think in the long run, we'll benefit, because when people see our work and they become thrilled by it, they'll contact us and they'll offer us money and licensing fees and all that good stuff. And, you know, I think all of us would like that. So, okay, so that's enough on file info right now. If you have any questions about it, feel free to post a comment on the show notes to this show, and we can continue the conversation there. Speaking of grab shots, hey, I could use a few more. So I have some in the queue and so forth, but I like having a nice selection available so that I can kind of go with a grab shot that feels right for the day and so forth. So if you're sitting on one, make sure you send it in, and people really like them. They're really popular, and I really like them too. So let's keep the grab shot bin full and send a few in. And I'll do my best to get it published. Also, I want to remind you, if you haven't been over to the Flickr member gallery for a while, our public group over there on Flickr, we have over 500 members now, and we have some nice conversations that happen. And there you can just bring up anything you want to talk about photography-wise. And I try to stay on top of those conversations and chime in as appropriate. And lots of good photos over there. And those photos also cycle through the Digital Story under the member gallery page. And there's a link to that at the top of the Digital Story. If you haven't been over there, take a look at it. There's a lot of good photography happening there, and there's some good discussions. So don't forget about the Flickr public group. And, you know, feel free to chime in with the discussion or with photos, whatever works for you. And I mentioned earlier about the photo assignment for this month, which is close up, and it's really looking good. So you still got a little bit of time to get your photo in. End of the day, October 31st is the deadline. And if you have been working on it and you haven't sent it in yet, get it together and send it off. So last thing for today's show, I always love talking about equipment, and I love listening to people talk about equipment. So I thought I'd just go over quickly some of the stuff that I'm going to be packing for my trip to the Caribbean, because, you know, this is all sorts of different types of photography, all sorts of opportunities. So I'll start out, and I'm going to take my little compact camera, my Canon SD700IS. And the reason why I'm taking that camera, one is it's just a really good little back pocket camera for wherever I'm going. I always, always, always want to have a good camera with me when I'm on the road. And this is a little 6-megapixel camera that takes great shots. But the other thing about it is I have the underwater housing for this camera, which allows me to take my snorkeling gear and just this little camera. And the housing isn't very big at all. It's, barely bigger than a digital SLR body. And then I can shoot underwater, or I can shoot outside in inclement weather. So it's a good combination to have when you're on the road. And also, if you're just in super tropical, humid conditions, you can put the camera in the housing and shoot topside too. So it's good stuff. And so I'll have that little unit ready to go. And then, if you've been following the blog, you know that I've been shooting with a Canon G9 compact camera lately, and I'm really liking this camera a lot. It's a little bit bigger than a regular compact camera. It looks a lot like a rangefinder camera from it's a little retro that way. It will fit in a jacket pocket nicely, and the lens retracts all the way in, so it's nice and flat. 12 megapixels, shoots raw, has all sorts of great functions, all the controls that you would want in terms of white balance and exposure, and just about everything you'd see on a digital SLR this camera has. So I'm going to be bopping around with that, and I will probably have that on me at all times, because it allows me to get just about any kind of shot. And the thing about that I've been noticing, it's a really amazing camera at low ISO, at 80 and 100. I shoot in RAW, and it's just fabulous. And it's a good camera at 200, ISO 200. And it's a decent camera at 400. But if you're going to do a lot of 400 shooting or above, then I'll need to break out the digital SLR, and so I'm going to be taking the Canon 5D digital SLR. That's my assignment camera. That's the camera that I use to shoot weddings and events, and most of the things that I make money with, I shoot with that camera. And I'm going to take some fun glass. I'm going to the 70-200L, which is just one of my most favorite lenses in the whole world. And I'm going to take my 16-35, and that's the new version of that. That's an L lens also. That's an f/2.8. The 70-200 that I take is the f/4. And then a lens I've just been leaving on the camera a lot when I'm bopping around is the 24-105L, and that's also f/4. And that's image stabilized, and it's just a good all around lens. Although I have to tell you, I'll be shooting with that lens, and then I'll go, oh, I feel like shaking up a little bit, and I'll take out that 16-35 and just go really wide on the 5D, and I go, oh, I'll just fall in love with whatever I'm seeing through the viewfinder, and go, why don't I leave this lens on all the time? Well, because you can't shoot at 16 millimeters all the time on a 5D. But, boy, it really gets the juices going sometimes when I do that. So those will be my three primary lenses. And then I'm going to take my 85 f/1.8 lens, And this is a lens I've had forever. It's just a terrific lens. And also the 50-1.8, and both of those are for existing light mainly. You know, sometimes when I just really want to shoot existing light, I don't want to be adding any lighting at all. If I do need to add flash, I'll have the 580 Canon flash with me, and both the dedicated flash cord and also the remote controller, so that I can put the controller on the camera and move the flash off camera if I need to do a certain kind of a lighting situation. So that'll be my kit, and I have it all packed up in a nice low pro roller bag. And that way I can lug it around with me. And then what I do, and this is one of my little tips. So I have the big camera bag for, you know, getting everything there. And it fits in the overhead compartment of the plane and all that stuff. But then in my suitcase, I pack a small little camera bag. And, you know, I usually fill it up with stuff that I need to be packing anyway. But what's nice about that is that if I just going out for a little day trip or a little afternoon or something, I can put the 5D with a lens in there, zip it up, and it's nice and compact and you know, protected from the elements and everything, and just throw it over my shoulder, and then maybe take the G9 too. And then I'm not looking very professional. I'm not looking, you know, like I'm lugging a lot of equipment around, which is important to me when I'm in foreign destinations. I don't like to show equipment very much, but yet I have the stuff that I need, you know, to handle a good shot if it presents itself. So I take a little satellite bag with me when I go on these trips, and then that way I can travel light when I need to. And so that'll be my kit, and then of course I'll have my my MacBook Pro, so I can process pictures and look at them. And I love looking at shots while I'm on the road. For me, it's part of the entertainment, right? I mean, you go and you shoot, and, you know, hopefully have some good interactions, have some good food. But then, you know, after that, my favorite thing is to go back to the room and look at pictures. And, you know, I really get my money's worth out of my photography then. Even if I don't sell them or use them for anything, I get to enjoy them afterwards. So that'll be my kit. That's what I'm going to be shooting with while I'm on the road. I think I'm going to take the Panasonic LX2 also. Panasonic has been kind enough to lend me one for a while I'm working on some projects. And actually, I'm taking that as my movie camera. I will shoot stills with it, and it does shoot raw, but it shoots a native 16:9 video at 30 frames per second, and does a very nice job of it. And you can just throw it in your back pocket, and you can also shoot stills with it. So it's a handy camera to have for movie making, but also knowing that you can shoot a few stills. And that should keep me out of trouble, or at least get me in a lot of trouble. I'll let you know how it all goes when we have the wrap-up, and I'll be posting about all this stuff while I'm gone. I'll be meeting with a lot of interesting people. So I hope you stay tuned over the next couple weeks, because there's going to be a lot of interesting stuff running through the site. And I hope that you go out there, take some pictures. If you haven't done your close-up shot, do it right away. And I will see you online very soon. Bye-bye now.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, weblogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.